Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of land use in Fairfax County in Virginia. I'm Stephanie Hopkins, and before I introduce our panelists, I'd like for you to meet Audrey Moore. Ms. Moore is a member of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors. She is a longtime critic of county land use and zoning policies, which she sees as contributing to rather than solving the problem of too rapid, unbalanced growth in her community.
What we're really talking about is the growth of Fairfax County, which is supposed to be regulated by the county government. County government is supposed to decide when and where what occurs. Obviously, this area is going to be a city someday. It's growing into an urban area, and there are going to be lots of room for lots of people to live, and those people are going to need places to work and places to shop. And what we want to do is to end up with a place that people can live in comfortably and to avoid some of the mistakes that have been made other places. The Board of Supervisors is responsible for giving approval to any construction that takes place in Fairfax County. So that, and we also have to provide the services for it. So that's our role, and of course the problem is apparent. Anybody can see it. You get out on any road in Fairfax County and it's congested. You have a terrible time. So the problem is twofold. It's the traffic and it's the taxes, because when you turn country into city too fast, it's going to cost a bundle. And people have seen their taxes escalating. They know they're not getting that much back from it, and what they can expect is more of the same and more traffic.
Fairfax County leads the greater metropolitan Washington area in its rate of residential construction, and it's one of the fastest growing urban areas in the country. To discuss this issue, my panelists are John T. Hazel, Jr. Mr. Hazel is the senior partner in the law firm Hazel, Beckhorn & Haynes in Northern Virginia. Among his many other accomplishments, he serves as chairman of the Metropolitan Washington Board of Trade's Virginia Commerce and Industry Political Action Committee. He's a director of the Metropolitan Washington Board of Trade, and he's a director of the Washington-Baltimore Regional Association. Mr. Hazel is also a member of the Board of Visitors at George Mason University. Our second guest is Dr. Joseph I. Gerfein. He's the director of planning at George Mason, and he's been here since 1972. Dr. Gerfein brought to his post at Mason 25 years of experience in college administration, civil engineering, heavy construction, field operations, planning and supply, personal management, and federal funding and construction. Exactly what is land use, so that we can give our public an idea of what we're talking about?
Land use to me is the utilization of one of our major resources for the good of the community in a manner that is consistent with the free enterprise system. Out of that sometimes arises a conflict, but the desirable goals of land use, but without that relationship there can be very little productive land use.
What people are predominantly involved in a land use issue?
In Fairfax County and in the metropolitan area generally, the land use issue has been opened dramatically in the last 15 or 20 years, and I think that's as it should be. And the entire community, from the private landowner through the public sector to the individual citizen, has assumed a very substantial role in land use.
Joe, you're predominantly involved with what's going on here at George Mason. Do we have rapid growth and development here?
We have exceptionally rapid growth, more so than any other university in the state and probably in the United States, because of a tremendous demand for space for our new students and the growth of Northern Virginia. Our land use problem here is how to get the buildings up fast enough in the places where our master plan has planned for them. Our land use is based on an approved master plan by the governor, which is really an excellent plan for the university.
Are we growing more rapidly than we can handle?
We are growing rapidly. Our problem is to catch up. Our plans are still maybe 5 years ahead of the dollars that we've received. So I'm building now for things should have been built 5 years ago.
How can we afford to build?
Contrary to popular image in some quarters, the percentage rate of construction and the percentage rate of in-migration in this area is considerably reduced in the past decade. Actually, the 1970s saw a growth rate in Fairfax County of about 2.5% annually. The growth rate in the 1950s was in excess of 10% annually in Fairfax County. So that in percentage growth rate, this county is really growing at a much slower rate than it did 15 or 20 years ago. We cannot afford not to build because Washington and the metropolitan area has now become a major international city. The emergence of Washington in the capital of the United States as a major city of world consequence is a phenomena of the past 15 or 20 years. There is being attracted to the metropolitan area an enormous amount of activity which results in demand for housing, demand for offices, demand for commercial facilities, and incidentally demand for higher education such as Joe described here at George Mason. That demand translates into jobs and into a very much broader economic base in Northern Virginia than we have ever had. I think the county government is to be congratulated upon its embarkation on a major industrial development effort, which has been very successful, has attracted a great deal of employment to this area and has strengthened our economic base. Now, when you relate that to the individual, I think you have to keep in mind that after food, shelter is the next most essential thing. And actually, we're playing catch-up in the residential business, just as Dr. Gerfein described, we are playing catch-up in the academic building area. It just happens that this Washington area in Northern Virginia are sharing in one of the dynamic opportunities of this entire century in the emergence of Washington as a major international capital.
Dr. Gerfein, I notice you had a comment.
On the cost of construction, one interesting thing that just came out yesterday in this week's issue of the Engineering News Record, our trade journal, was that the projection for the next year, construction costs of industrial and academic type buildings will level off. And interestingly enough, we have just discovered that at George Mason University, the last two bids we opened were at the same level, roughly $68 a square foot, for things we had opened the previous year. But we don't think this will last more than 1 year.
I should add that I hope housing costs will level somewhat, and I have some reason for optimism in the fact that a great portion of housing cost in the past decade has been the necessary and desirable accommodation of environmental concerns. And I include in that layout of lots, street construction, storm drainage, and other necessary factors which perhaps in the 50s and 60s received less stress, less emphasis than they should have. The introduction of those facilities at the level now required to meet standards created a major factor in the escalation of housing costs in the past decade. I hope that we have now accommodated that element, and I think we have, certainly in most of Northern Virginia. And that should mean that that percentage, that allocation of cost for those things will not necessarily increase the way it has been because we won't be increasing the number of things that we have to address. That should give us a fairly fixed position on utility costs and allow us to accommodate the inflation in the bricks and mortar of the house itself.
I understand that traffic is becoming an increasing problem in the county. What is being done?
Traffic is probably the single remaining capital facilities problem that is still unsatisfactory. Very little concrete evidence of improvement, particularly in the face of the declining highway budgets because of declining gas tax, has been evidenced. But I am optimistic because I think that the entire community, including Virginia Department of Highway representatives who really control our traffic construction, local board of supervisor members, legislators, all of the group, and the citizens recognize that something must be done about traffic. We went through a long period when traffic improvements were steadfastly opposed by citizens moving into a newly developed area. Of course, I-66 and its 20-year history of opposition is probably the most dramatic and one of the most frustrating of all opposition matters in traffic. But I hope that that's behind us, and I hope that all of the elements of the community realize that traffic will not be solved by opposing solutions, and that the Virginia Department of Highways must have the funding as well as the will to improve our traffic system. And it's not all automobiles. It's Metro Rail, which is now a fact of life in Northern Virginia. It's Metro Bus. And we must have a highway system that allows access by Metro Bus connector links to Metro Rail. It's only been in the past year that the community generally has begun to recognize that our roads are so inadequate in many cases that you can't run Metro buses on our system. It's only been in the past 18 months that a unified effort to provide new transportation corridors has occurred. Actually, most of our transportation corridors were the same ones that were used in colonial days. I think we all need to recognize that funding problems will not go away and that tight budget controls, while politically good sounding, don't provide for the needs that the community has. It is very evident to those who sit by the hour in traffic jams that in this area and in some other areas of the state, particularly in Tidewater, major highway funding must be obtained. I was personally disappointed that we did not adopt the plan to put gas taxes on a percentage of cost, which seemed to me to be both helpful to the highway funding in the Commonwealth and also helpful to the national energy conservation effort. That did not occur this session, and I think it will occur at some future session, because I don't think any other possibility for solution lies ahead. As far as the state legislature is concerned, I think a new development from an entirely different direction is beginning to occur in Fairfax County, in that the county government is now studying, and I believe will introduce in the new session of the legislature, a plan whereby county money can be raised and put in the highway system at a state level to supplement funding. We may have to go to that because we simply cannot afford to reach a conclusion that highways and transportation in any part of the state must remain inadequate because we cannot resolve funding issues.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program about issues and interests of concern to people everywhere. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason, the State University in Northern Virginia.
The growth in Fairfax County has just been phenomenal because we are taking the growth of the region in the suburbs. We're issuing probably 2 to 3 permits for every one that's issued in the Maryland suburbs. And it is because we don't require the builders here to build the kind of roads they're building in Maryland. And we have been requiring very unrestrictive policies. We also don't require the builders to pay all the costs of building permits. We have lower hookup costs than what actually the construction costs require. We've been doing a lot of things to make it a little easier and cheaper for developers to build here, on the theory that housing would be cheaper. But it hasn't happened that way. The housing in Northern Virginia and Fairfax is just as expensive as it is anywhere else. In fact, it's more expensive than it is in Prince George's County today. So we have encouraged the very most rapid growth, but but we're really not getting the benefits for people that you might like to have. The growth in Fairfax County has just been phenomenal because we are taking the growth of the region in the suburbs. We're issuing probably 2 to 3 permits for every one that's issued in the Maryland suburbs. And it is because we don't require the builders here to build the kind of roads they're building in Maryland. And we have been requiring very unrestrictive policies. We also don't require the builders to pay all the costs of building permits. We have lower hookup costs than what actually the construction costs require. We've been doing a lot of things to make it a little easier and cheaper for developers to build here on the theory that housing would be cheaper. But it hasn't happened that way. The housing in Northern Virginia and Fairfax is just as expensive as it is anywhere else. In fact, it's more expensive than it is in Prince George's County today. So we have encouraged the very most rapid growth, but we're really not getting the benefits for people that you might like to have.